Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should have their mobiles off or switched to silent, and use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion in committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting. Anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failure to adhere to the guidelines for a second time may result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited to join back the meeting once more as the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where the Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure, if you wish to speak on an item in the chamber or via Teams, use the chat facility to indicate you wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you want to ask a question or see for comment. P if you wish to propose. S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments in instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the chat facility so that we are aware that this is an active decision that does not indicate connectivity problems. Okay. Can let's never finish first. Sarah, do we have any apologies?
Yes, so the members of Sinn Féin have apologised for this evening.
Okay. I have one small chairperson's remark. I know that we had 180,000 from communities for flooding in Downpatrick and Newry, and I don't see it anywhere on the agenda, and we're well into January now. Just concerned that we need some report on how it's to be spent.
Chair, we were trying to table a report tonight at SPNR regarding flooding, but we're waiting on confirmation of detail coming back from one of the departments, so we moved it to the S&E committee instead, hoping that we'll have all the details. So there will be a report on S&E.
Okay, so that's clarification from the department how it should be spent here.
Is that relating to, which funding is that relating to?
The Department of Communities.
So that will go through ERT?
It will, yeah. Declarations of interest. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Chair, I think we should just acknowledge Sheila from Downcraft Services, sister Maria Smith, sadly passed away in the Fernilterick Place yesterday. So I think it would be important for us as a council just to express our condolences on behalf of SDLP. Also, our thoughts with her and her family at this difficult time.
I agree with that. So moving to point... Oh, Alan Lewis as well. Okay, thank you. Alan?
Thank you, Chair. It was just to concur and put on record our condolences as well.
All right. So, declarations of interest?
Declarations of interest.
None. Action sheet arising from the SPNR committee. Held on 14th of December 2023. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, and page 7. Do we have a proposal and seconder? Or any issues arising? Proposed by Gareth. Can we have a seconder? Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Right. We now need to go into closed session, so we need to propose it in seconder for that.
Just read out the first
bit. Items deemed exempt, yeah? On the paragraph 4 of part 1 of Schedule of the Local Government Act 2014. There it is. Information relating to any consultations or negotiations or contemplated consultations or discussions in connection with any labour relations matter arising between council or government department and employees of or office holders under the council. So, addressing item 4, industrial relations update, on the proposal of Councillor Kelly, seconded by Councillor Lewis. On the proposal of Councillor Riley, seconded by Councillor Lewis, having received legal advice, the following was agreed. Recommendation 1, trade union representation to committee. Matters relating to industrial dispute have been formally registered with the Chief Executive Officer, which require a decision by Council, will be referred to a committee. The committee will consider written submissions from trade union side. Recommendation 2, officers' reports. Where there is a notified industrial dispute and matters cannot be resolved through the normal channels, the matters being brought forward would be agreed between management and trade union side, and subsequently an officer, paper and written submissions from trade union side would be put forward to the committee. Any usual exemptions, e.g. in relation to legal or financial privilege, would be exercised. Therefore, parts of the report would be redacted accordingly in line with the recommendations. Recommendation 3, future considerations. Council officers look, along with advice from Belfast Legal Services, at ways that members might meet with trade unions on a regular basis when there is no formal dispute in place, considering any regional approach to trade union engagement that may be developed. Okay. We're moving on to item 5, and I'm advised we need to bring Nora in before Paul on this item.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Councillors. So this report that's before you this evening relates to Kilbrody playing pitches, as you'll see from the papers, but it does refer to the planning application and potential future planning applications. So, Chair, my advice would be to members of the Planning Committee that they would need to give consideration as to whether or not they should stay for the report. I don't think that there will be an issue, provided that there's no discussion in relation to the report, but given that there will be potential discussion in respect of matters that may come forward as part of a planning application, and indeed a planning application which is before the Council at the minute, that members of the Planning Committee should leave the meeting if at any point there is discussion in respect of planning matters. It's obviously a matter for the own, or for the individual councillors to decide whether or not to accept that advice, but that would be my advice in respect of potential conflict of interest and predetermination, etc.
If we did that, could I be advised if it still be quorate? Because I can see, obviously, Jarlath, myself, yourself.
Yeah, we would be court the before.
Okay.
So, Chair, simply what I'm saying is, if there's discussion about it, I think you're probably okay to stay. But once you start to get into discussion, if there is discussion to be had, I think that you would have to leave at that point. At this stage, the report just talks about going away to look at options. So you're probably okay to stay, but once you get into any kind of discussion or debate, that could be a problem.
Chair, I suppose point of information, and I don't want to speak on behalf of Jarlath, obviously it's his choice, but Jarlath is on the planning committee and he is the one that's brought the motion before the council and has been referred to this committee and given the advice that Nora is saying. Where does that leave the person that's proposing the motion? I don't want to speak on behalf of Jarlath, his options, if he stays or not, but I just want my guidance from Neil.
Councillor Sherwin, I think obviously that's a matter for Councillor Tinley to decide. We have some concerns in relation to the compatibility of making that notice of motion and being able to vote in respect of any matters that might come forward in planning applications, in respect of the issues that have been raised, but that's obviously a matter for Councillor Tinley. So it would depend whether or not he wants to speak today or whether or not he wants to wait and see how the matters progress and decide at a later stage whether or not he wants to declare an interest or not in respect of any planning applications.
Well, could I suggest we hear the report from Paul Tamani and we'll see if discussion develops. Yeah?
No.
Oh, that's a very good point, too. Yeah. John, if you want to read your motion.
Sorry, Chair, just a question.
Yes, Pete.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And the point you said, obviously, I don't mind listening to Paul's report. But as you say, and we'll see how it develops, is if it goes into planning territory, you know, is somebody going to, like Nora, going to interject and stuff so that we can leave? Because I don't want to prejudice myself from making a decision in planning committee. I don't want to have something, a preconceived, what if somebody comes out with an outburst or something? And that's me in the meeting. So
yeah.
I would like that cleared up, that if some, even if I don't engage in it at that point, but somebody starts going off into planning, does that affect me making the decision in the planning committee? I'll have a perception.
But it will depend on the decision which is taken by the committee, which is why Councillor Brown had suggested that if the recommendations were accepted without discussion or without any discussion, detailed discussion on the planning merits or the benefits of one particular site over another, that would probably be okay. It's once you get into the discussion about it, then it could be considered that you have a predetermined view in respect of those applications. So,
just an update here, I'm told that Jarlath isn't required to read out his motion and that we can actually hear the report. And if discussion develops on planning, we can make a decision then.
That's why I'm on the call, Chair. I'll interject if I think I need to.
So, can I suggest we hear from Paul Tamani?
Sure. Can I just get Nora to clarify, because I can see debate going on between the councillors. I suppose the paper, Nora, just as it sits, does not get into the planning discussion, because the paper, as recommended, recommends that this be considered by the DEA and the AHC committee, I think, yeah. So as long as people don't digress into talking about the positioning of any pavilion or the locations or any of the other planning merits of the proposal, then the members are okay to stay. Nor is that, as I can see,
yes,
a lot of.
Yes, that's what I'm advising. So we'll keep it under review. We just need to stay away from particular locations, planning applications, those kinds of things.
Thank you, Chair. We'll get this kicked off. Firstly, I'd like to thank Councillor Tinley for bringing the motion and, I suppose, giving officers the opportunity to hopefully give a detailed overview of the project to date. Members will see from the report that there's been significant detail in terms of the sensitivities around the location of this particular project in Kilbroney Park and the associated challenges that causes with with planning and the detail required. The report also outlines the significant detail into the governance and communication, I suppose, that's happened to date, or the formal governance and communication that's happened to date in terms of this project, which has been significant and, I suppose, commenced since 2017 when the original recommendation on sports facility strategy was approved. And also you'll see that the report goes into, I suppose, comprehensive detail in terms of the planning process that this project has been through and continues to go through as part of the planning application that was submitted on the 30th of April 2021. So I'm just going to move on to reading out the recommendations of the report. And essentially we're looking for SPNR committee to consider and agree and note the contents of the report in relation to the progress of the Kilbirnie Playing Pitches Upgrade Project and associated environmental considerations of the site location. To agree that Crotley DEA meet with council officers to consider the appropriate location for a changing pavilion, taking into account the environmental and planning considerations and sporting need. To approve the continued liaison with the relevant club representatives to reach a solution in relation to the upgrade of the soccer and Gaelic pitches that meets the council's sports facility strategy recommendations and the planning requirements. And also to note that regular updates of this project will now be provided to the Crotley DEA councillors and Active Health and Communities Committee. I'm happy to take any questions, Chair.
So, do we have any questions? Was that a pre-existing question you had there, Pete? Or, no, I think that was a pre-original question. So, in which case then, John, are you indicating?
Yes, Chairman.
Try to use the comment line if you can.
Do you want me to come in now?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairman, for inviting me to speak on the motion. And I am grateful to Officer Tomati for presenting what is a largely positive report, Chairman, but just I'm concerned that it doesn't sort of accurately reflect the concerns that I raised within my motion, which was obviously based on correspondence between the planning department and the project managers of December 7th. But just in relation to Officer Tomati's report, there just is a few things here I need to highlight and then sort of point out one glaring omission. So, on the first page, and then I'll just go on to speak to the motion, Chairman, with your indulgence. So the pitches, just to be clear, are not part of the historical park and gardens. They are adjacent to, and a quick Google would confirm that. So the pitches do not lay within, I'm not sure about the AONB, but they certainly are not part of the domain of the area that's known as the Lodge, which is a historical park and garden on a registered domain. The second thing is, Chairperson, within the report, and I do welcome the chronological order, but there's a glaring omission there in that in June 2022, the AHC passed the ODIHM report. On the ODIHM report, on the back of it, we approved £500,000 for to invest in multi-sports hub in each DEA. So there's no equivocation about where the ODIHM report was recommending that spend happen within Crotley DEA. So I just don't understand why such an important part of this project that is totally and absolutely related to the matter that we're discussing here has been omitted from that chronological order. And then finally, it says here, talks about, well, it's sort of summarising the report earlier this week with the clubs, and it talks about terms of pitch provision. Officers outlined one of the key challenges is the requirement of a competitive GA pitch to be a minimum width of 80 metres, which doesn't fit within the current hedgerow footprint of the site. Well, the current proposals that are with the planners actually has, it shows the Gaelic pitch to be 80 metres wide. So that's the current live application, Chairperson. So I just wanted to point those things out. So once again, Chairman, thank you for allowing me to speak to the motion. And I'm delighted to do so tonight in front of my childhood friend and Ross Owen, Chairman, who's sitting in the public gallery behind me, Mr. John Markey. And I want to welcome John here to hear the discussion here. So I brought this motion, Chairman, on the back of the latest correspondence between the planning department and the project managers, and to give a voice to the generations of sporting youth from my own area who have sought improved facilities at this site for 40 years. Exasperation and frustration are emotions that do not begin to adequately express the true feelings of the local sporting community, who simply cannot fathom why this process is taking so long and why a decades-long request to upgrade an existing, well-used facility remains undelivered. I share those emotions, Chairman, and add to it a sense of acute embarrassment that having given...
Sorry, Councillor Tinley, sorry for interrupting you here. I am a bit worried about where this presentation is going, so I would ask that you just bear in mind the advice I've given previously about members of the planning committee.
That's noted, Nora. Am I allowed to continue, Chair?
At your own discretion.
I share those emotions and add to it a sense of acute embarrassment that having given our collective commitment to deliver these improvements, the process appears to be caught in some sort of planning purgatory. The last 12 months in particular...
Sorry, Chair, I'm sorry.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but so far you suggested that the planning is being very long in the decision-making process. He's not talking about the actual decision itself, as far as I can hear.
Hmm?
Am I wrong?
Oh, no.
Chair, there's discussion. This is discussion now about a live planning application, and that's the issue.
If his only complaint is the length of time it's taking, does that... influence the decision on the planning application?
Well, I've already had to intervene at one stage, Chair, because I was a bit worried. I would just remind councillors that it is a matter for themselves to decide whether or not they're conflicted in respect of making these representations and are staying in the committee to listen to them when they're sitting on the planning committee.
Okay. Jonas, can you make any further comments in a situation that won't force us to withdraw from the meeting?
Sean, I take on board Nora's interventions there, but I suppose, just for full clarity, I would never be able to sit on a planning committee that would be reaching this decision, because I've been involved with this project since its inception. And for full transparency and openness, I would never be sitting on the decision-making body in relation to this application.
Nora, is that okay? Well, there are several other members of the Planning Commission who might, so going into detail on planning issues would force us to withdraw, I believe. So, could I suggest, you raised 3 points during the initial discussion, which, pardon? Yes, I will. But there were 3 points made by you that didn't relate to planning. They talked about the body of the report. Could we at least address those 3 points and see if Paul is happy to pick them up as an amendment to the report? Or is that what you want on that issue?
No, Chair, I'm very concerned here. This is the democratic forum. I'm an elected councillor. I've already declared that I will not be sitting in adjudication on this thing if I happen to be on the planning committee. But I feel here that I'm being silenced from the chair. I was invited here to speak on this motion, and now I'm being stifled. The debate has been stifled. That's not acceptable.
Well, John, we'll have to decide in a minute if members of the planning committee have to withdraw. But first of all, I'd just like Henry Riley to come in. He was in before you, Declan. Henry?
Yeah. Yeah, point of information. This meeting isn't, this meeting is recorded, right? So it's irrelevant where I'm sitting in this room or sitting at home listening to it, not commenting as a member of the planning committee. That's up to my decision. So is it recorded or is it not? And can I have access to the recording when I go home tomorrow?
Chair, yes, this meeting is recorded. We're an open session, yeah. And so, you would have access to bring Nora in just on that point then.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Whoever me sitting in this room, sit at home. My opinion.
Chairman.
Can we let Henry in first? Jonathan, I do think that we need to think, be careful here, okay? Henry, you were in the line to speak.
Yeah, thanks, Chairman. Chairman, I have to say I'm very concerned at the way this meeting's progressing. Jarlath Tinley, different political persuasion to me in many ways, but I respect the man's point of view, and he's an elected representative. He should be entitled to say what he thinks in this chamber. And I'm absolutely astonished. We seem to be overly legalistic, if that's a word in the English dictionary. But, you know, it's a notice of motion. Let the man present his notice of motion and what he believes are pertinent facts relating to it that he wants to bring up. You know, there's no shame in listening to a man's point of view, and if he's facts to hear, we hear the facts and then we make a decision on what we've heard. But do not try to shut him down. It's not what council's about, Chairman. Thank you.
Well, as Chair, I'd like to think about proposing now that members of the Planning Committee, other than Jarlath, could actually withdraw at this stage, and the quorum, we would still be quorum to hear what Jarlath has to say.
But Chair, sorry, you can't make that proposal for any other member in this committee. It is up to them.
And the
point of information was asked to Nora in relation to Councillor McAteer. Is there any difference of him not contributing to the meeting or speaking on it, other than listening while in the meeting or sitting at home and listening to the recording post this meeting? So it would be appreciative if Nora could come back and inform Planning Committee members of can they stay in the room and listen to the debate but not contribute to the debate.
Yeah.
Nora, would you respond to that, please?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I think it is important that I clarify I'm absolutely not trying to shut anybody down. What I'm trying to do is protect the members of the Planning Committee who are at this meeting. That's why I'm here and that's my job. And what I'm doing is trying to protect the process. So it is entirely a matter for any councillor to decide whether or not they stay or leave and whether or not they could potentially be considered to have predetermined themselves or to have had a predisposed idea in respect of an application. You'll recall that I said at the start that I had no issue with the recommendations. It's when we get into discussion and when you're talking about planning matters that concerns me in terms of protecting the process in respect of this planning application that's currently live and anyone that is before the committee. So in terms of Councillor McAteer's point, I have no issue with councillors staying. It's when it gets into discussion, because as he rightly pointed out, this is a matter of public session. The paper is the paper and it does talk about planning issues, but obviously I didn't have sight of what it is that Councillor Tinley was going to say, and that's why I haven't rejected. But I would reassure members that my advice is to protect the process rather than trying to silence any councillor or stifle debate. In terms of whether or not councillors should leave, as I said, that's a matter for the individual councillors to decide whether or not they want to stay or leave. But as I said, there's no issue with them staying to listen, but they really shouldn't be engaging in any debate.
As I understand it, this is a planning application by the council on council land for a council project, and therefore it's very relevant to councillors in terms of making a decision process. If I felt that there would be some conflict when I came to look at this as a councillor sitting on the planning committee, I'd feel forced to withdraw. I'm not sure I've identified that conflict yet. Can I ask Alan Lewis to come in?
Chair. Yes. Could I just ask and clarify that as long as this meeting doesn't go into closed type session, that the full recording of the meeting will be up on line. Therefore, if Nora's legal advice is that it does move into planning issues and that members of the planning committee leave, would the advice then extend to, if recording's up online, would the advice extend to that members of the planning committee don't click in and don't listen back?
Well, that was actually a question I was going to ask myself, because personally I had no intention of clicking and listening. I'm not sure if it's possible to find out who is clicking and listening in order to validate that in some kind of a paper trail. Nor would it be satisfactory for planning committee members who feel they want to leave to leave and leave it to the quorum and Jarlath to finish off this item. We'll list important items tonight.
Yes, sorry, Chair. As I said, it's a matter for the individual councillors to decide. I can't tell anybody what to do. All I can do is give advice. It's a fair point that has been raised that this is being held in open session, and anybody could watch this afterwards if they so wish. My concern, as I said at the outset, and remains the position, is once you get into discussion of individual planning applications, then that's where the difficulty lies for the committee or for the members of the planning committee.
Well, I think the point I made about 10 minutes ago about seeking full an answer on the three points that was raised about the document itself would be, from Paul at this stage, would be in order before we proceeded further, would it? Yeah? They sound... See if you're happy to adopt those. Jarlath, you haven't finished speaking yet, and we haven't addressed the three points you raised at the start regarding the what was omitted from the report. Do you want them dealt with first, or do you want to continue on the way you were?
Sure. First of all, I want to thank my colleague, Henry Reilly, who pretty much summed up my whole feelings in this. It's absolutely outrageous and unprecedented what I've been faced with here tonight. You know what I mean? You're trying to... No, I'm not going to say it. I don't want to get myself in trouble. But I'll tell you this here. The councillor knows what's best for the councillor. We don't need advice. The councillor knows when this three over the line. I've already declared I'll not be voting on this thing. But as Henry Reilly said, I brought the motion. The motion was accepted at full council. I've been invited here tonight to speak to the motion.
Okay.
And there's already been 2 to 3 interventions to stop me from doing that. Well, so are you going to let me continue, Chairman?
Well, if I hear anything that might be a conflict of interest for me, I'll be happy to withdraw and find a new chair. But I think other members of the Planning Committee are free to do the same. I suggest we listen to what you have to say, and if I have to stop you myself to leave the room, I will, okay? Yes, I'd have to nominate a chair if I leave, quite right. I'm not leaving for the moment because I haven't actually heard anything that would give me a conflict at the Planning Committee.
So you want me to continue? Right, I'm going to start again, okay? Chairman. So I brought this motion on the back of the latest correspondence between the Planning Department and the Project Managers, and to give voice to the generations of sporting youth from my own area who have sought improved facilities at this site for 40 years. Exasperation and frustration are emotions that do not begin to adequately express the true feelings of the local sporting community, who simply cannot fathom why this process is taking so long and why a decades-long request to upgrade an existing well-used facility remains undelivered. I share those emotions and add to it a sense of acute embarrassment that having given our collective commitment to see these improvements delivered, the process appears to be caught in some sort of planning purgatory. The past 12 months in particular has seen little to no progress on the matter, and the excuses offered by council officials are, I'm sorry to say, no longer tenable, credible or acceptable. This application is now in its fourth year, and all the excuses in the world will not camouflage the fact that the officials tasked with delivering this project to the point where the planning department can conclude their work and bring forward a recommendation have been found wanting. The most recent correspondence between the department and the project managers makes for uncomfortable reading and should be ringing a very loud alarm bell for us all. Forget for one moment the pavilion concerns, which I will revisit. Everything else pertains to what any objective observer would surely regard as easily deliverable. More information, more clarity, and more detail. Now, over 3 years into the process, it is beyond comprehension that details on the temporary road access or clarity on ball stop fencing, as of two examples, remain outstanding. This is simply not good enough. With regards to the pavilion itself, one can legitimately ask the question, what on earth were the pre-application discussions between the planners and project managers about? What was being discussed? To be clear, the decision to build the pavilion at this current location was theirs. The first location already having been rejected by the planners, yet having now been presented with two pavilion location options and gone through the whole rigmarole of statutory and public consultations, we can see for ourselves from the December 7th correspondence that this location is now deemed unacceptable also. The motion now invites council to break the logjam, and in the interest of moving forward, I propose we instruct officials to now decouple and separate out the pavilion from the current application. There are a number of reasons for so doing. Firstly, notwithstanding how we arrived at this point, the pavilion clearly remains a major concern for the planners, as their latest correspondence. So if it's removed, those concerns are also removed. Secondly, there would appear to be no alternative location within the current red line boundary of the application site. So any new location should be via a standalone application. This will allow the pitches element to be progressed and decided without any further delay. Otherwise, the last 3 years' work will have been wasted. Thirdly, if and when the new pitches are passed and constructed, they will remain unusable for at least a year. This allows officials time to seek alternative sites or give consideration to reprofiling existing but underutilised buildings within the park. Finally, Chairman, I want to reiterate that in the 40-plus years since I first played on these pitches myself, the only continuous works carried out on this site have been grass cutting and pitch marking, whilst the world has fundamentally changed regarding the need for proper facilities that adhere to health and safety and most importantly, child protection issues. During this period, the increased growth in sports participation has been phenomenal, particularly for young females, something we should continue to encourage and support. And there will be no better way to show our collective commitment to this proposal than by supporting this motion. So thank you, Chairman, for your indulgence, and thank you, colleagues, for affording me the courtesy to present the motion. And I'll just end by saying, Chairman, in relation to the recommendations themselves, I would be happy enough to go with the first two, but I would like the recommendations to include and reflect my concerns that this now should be a two-stage process and we separate the pitches out from the pavilion. And I'm not so sure what further liaison with the clubs is going to achieve, because the clubs have pretty much appointed me to get this over the line as best I can on their behalf, because that point three there in the recommendations is exactly the issue I'm trying to highlight here tonight. It's been running in circles and there's nothing happening. And then finally on point four, I would ask members to reflect my concerns that there should be a monthly report coming back to AHC until this process concludes, because then we know that there's something actually happening. And it's not just something that's left out there in the ether. And we're back here again in another 6 or 12 months. So thank you very much, Chairman. I'm happy to answer any queries that members might have.
Before we start, I'd just like to state that I've heard a proposal that might designate a proposer and seconder for a specific two-stage process for this planning application. I've also heard a number of suggestions of modification to the report. I'm just clarifying for my own benefit what we're dealing with here. So we have Councillor Sharvin, Byrne and Riley in that order.
Chair, I'm just going to defer to colleague Councillor Byrne first and then I'll come back, if that's all right with you.
Pete? Chair, obviously the recommendations in front of us, no issue having a discussion, but when we've urged into something that is a recommendation to get a project over the line, I can't, as a planning committee member, engage. So on that basis, with additional recommendations put forward, I'm going to remove myself from the room for the rest of the discussion and come in at the next item.
Henry?
Chairman, I just missed the last part of Pete's submission there. What was the last couple of comments, Pete? Chairman?
For once, I was quiet. Least spoken. The recommendations that were in front of us, I had no problem discussing because it didn't go into planning territory. I do respect, you know, what Councillor Tinney has just said there, and he's talking about a project to get across the line with additional recommendations. As a planning committee member, I have to go in with an unbiased view on an application to vote on that, and any additional recommendations in the planning territory, I can't be part of, so I'm removing myself from the room because of additional recommendations put forward.
Yeah, well, Chairman, firstly, can I thank Councillor Tinley for making his submission in a very, it seems to me, an objective and persuasive fashion. And I totally understand his frustration in this. And I have to say, everything that I've heard, there's nothing contentious. And indeed, everything that Councillor Tinley has proposed is constructive. And Chairman, I don't know how many of us are actually left on the committee now that can make a proposal, but certainly I would propose formally that we accept the first and second recommendation in the report and we do adopt it as a two-stage process. And the other point that Councillor Tinley made about point four reflecting the views of the club, I think that's reasonable also. And that's a very simple proposal, Chairman, and I think if there's a seconder of it, we can put this to bed for tonight and leave the club and the players involved. And, Chairman, I have to say, all those dozens of men and women that give up their time voluntarily to give young people a passion in life and a outlet, to participate in sport. It's a wonderful thing to do, and the council really should support them. Whether it's Gaelic football, soccer, hockey, you name it, we should be really pulling out the stops to make sure that we accommodate those great people who volunteer their services. But, Chairman, that's my proposal, and if there's a second round, I think we can put it to bed without any further discussion on it. Thank you.
Councillor Sharvin, and also looking for any other comments or.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I suppose, first of all, as a keen sports person, you know, I think it's vitally important that we do continue to strive to improve not just our own facilities, but also those that are owned and run by clubs within our district as well. I think certainly we as a council have a real strong history of doing that and should be proud of that. But certainly from my experience of being on the council for a long time now and seeing the delay of 3 years nearly of a plan application for what is technically some football pitches and a pavilion. You know, I was involved in a project a number of years ago where we had a football pitch constructed and a pavilion approved within 8 weeks. And it was in an area of outstanding natural beauty and beside a historical monument. And we were seen to get over it very quickly and didn't take 3 years. I suppose, and this is where I'm trying to caution my words to try and not interfere too much with the planning element, but I think it's important as someone who wouldn't be so familiar of how we've necessarily got to where we are today on the site, but how did we actually identify where the pavilion would be proposed to go? You know, surely we spoke to our planners, who are colleagues of this council, in the identification of a identified site that would be suitable within the boundaries that is there. And then, I suppose, and I think Councillor Tinley's suggestion of breaking it into two, I certainly would say we break it into two, but they both run in parallel with one another, because I think it is our objective that they would be delivered as soon as possible together, but I don't think either one should necessarily hold the other one back. And we as a council, again, have shown that we do that. You know, we can take Dunleith redevelopment as an example. We did a master plan and identified what we as a council would like to see in Dunleith, and we've broken it up into phases because, one, the football pitches are in the floodplain. The impact of that, we're talking about a 3G, 4G pitch, and we talked about a tennis bubble, but we're proceeding with the skate park and the BMX track because that was a suitable approach that is able to get plan approval, hopefully, did get plan approval as quickly as it can, and we're proceeding with that phase, and then there's additional phases coming out. And then the second example is our city park. In Newry, the city park is being broken up into phases, and that will be delivered in phases. So we can't necessarily say that we are not able to do it, but I certainly would be wanting to understand from an officer's perspective, do they foresee an issue of taking the two-split approach running in parallel with one another? And again, I think we all need to be reminded as a council and officers and elected members that we're aiming to improve the facilities that we as a council have for the betterment of the community that lives in our district. And that is one of our corporate objectives, is to provide sports facilities to improve the health and well-being of those that live in our district. And this project certainly enables us to go that one step further and provide a space that does that. Chair, I've no real other issues with the amendments that Councillor Tinley has suggested and that Councillor Riley's proposed, but I just want reassurance from officers that they don't foresee an issue in splitting it into the two. But as I say, we as a council have a very long history in taking things in phases, so I don't foresee a major issue on it.
Do the officers want to answer that last point now, or can I go move on to Chairman Kelly and Alan Lewis? Okay, Tierna, would you like to come in now, please? I see you're seconding it.
I'm sorry, Chair. I had another question about the identification of the proposed site of the pavilion and how we got there, so just when we come back to the questions.
Okay. Shana, you're on mute.
Shana, is your microphone up on your head? Do you need to pull it down? No, you don't have a microphone. If you take your headphones out, maybe it'll work.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Absolutely.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes, and I can hear you, great. Apologies, don't know what was happening there. No, I just wanted to say, Chair, I completely agree with the comments made by Councillor Riley and Councillor Tinley, and I think it's important that we support sports clubs within our district, especially since there has been such a growth of sporting activities, especially since COVID. And, you know, as a woman footballer myself as well, and as Councillor Tilly noted, you know, it's important to have these facilities to support the women's game as well. So I'm happy to second the proposal tonight. So thanks, Chair.
Alan? You're okay, yeah. So there were two questions you wanted clarification on. And Jarlath was often looking for 3 points in the original report where you felt there were omissions. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Obviously, there's a lot of discussion there, and hopefully my notes are okay, and I'm happy to be reminded if I've missed something as I go through this. I suppose what I will say, first of all, is, as outlined in the report, I know council officers are very committed to delivering this project as well, and trying to get it through the process, and accept that it has taken a long time to get to this point, and you know, we continue to strive to hopefully see a successful project at the end of this. In terms of, I suppose, the first point, Councillor Tinley, you talked about the environmental sensitivities of the area and the location of this pitch. I suppose it does outline in point one of that report, the sensitivities of the area, maybe not specifically where the pitch is, but certainly the areas that border that and the impact, and the wider impact that runoffs, et cetera, like that, will have to things like Harlequin Lock and all those things, sort of aspects of the environmental sensitivities. So, but I accept your point in terms of the specific location of the pitches. In terms of the Aotearoa report, that's specifically in relation to multi-sports hubs. There will be a further report brought to AHC specifically about that project going forward, and that should table to AHC on Monday night. And I suppose just quickly on that, that even if we did upgrade these pitches, it wouldn't address the need for Crotleaf, even if those pitches were upgraded. So I think that's an important point to take into consideration as part of that report. The other, I suppose, point you made was about the current proposal, which I suppose does fit, if you like, the regulation size pitches. However, as part of that, and as per the letter you referred to on the 7th of December, that does, I suppose, the planners have outlined their concerns with that proposal because of it doesn't fit within the current hedgerow, and any progressing of that option would, I suppose, result in eradicating some of that hedgerow and replanting at different times. And I suppose that's essentially what it says. And I'm very conscious I'm going into the detail of planning there, and so I probably won't take too much further on that. I'll come to the recommendations at the end, potentially, and maybe Councillor Sharver will try chat with you first about your two issues that you raised. One was about the location of the pavilion. Obviously, so you know, with association football and certainly with Gaelic games as well, we'd like to see a changing pavilion as close as we can to those pitches. And that's, I suppose, within what we call the red line of that area, within the footprint, if you like, of the current pitch pavilion. And that's where we've tried to, on two occasions, you'll see through the planning application in Appendix 1 and Appendix 2, we've tried to, because of those designs, fit a change of pavilion within those areas. And that doesn't seem to be favourable at this stage. And hence, I suppose, the proposal to look at an alternative location for those. And again, I'm conscious of what I'm talking about in terms of planning applications at the moment, but hopefully that answers your question around the proposals of where the pavilions are.
Yeah, it does. Chair, if I can just ask a tiny clarification there. So we obviously submitted the original location of the pavilion with the original application, and then, as you say, later on, we then were asked to identify a second site. At the point of identifying the second site, were planners involved in the identification of that second site that would enable us to have a site that met the needs and the legislation policy of planning?
I suppose planners in their independent position probably would never give us that advice. However, they did give us advice on the first proposal, and essentially it wasn't, I suppose, acceptable at that stage in terms of what they felt would be in line with the sensitivity area, so we looked at a different location. And we're limited in terms of the areas within that footprint that we can put them.
Sorry,
two locations.
I may have interpreted that answer wrong, but you say the planners were involved in the first submission of the application, so they would have been aware of where the pavilion was originally proposed?
Sorry, only through the PAD process and the feedback from those.
Yeah, just to be very clear, councillors, planners are independent of the council officers working on planning applications. For what was highlighted by Councillor Enright there, you know, it's a planning application on behalf of council for a council project, and council will potentially ultimately approve or reject the application. So our planners work with us the same way they would work with any agent, is what I would say.
Just, Gareth, have you had both your questions answered?
It's answered one of them, hopefully. Councillor Sharpton, is that right?
I'll say for the record, yes, you've answered the first one.
Yeah. And the second one was about the phases, is that?
Yeah.
And I might come to that on point two of the recommendation, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Sure. I suppose the next point is, about the recommendations that I know Councillor Riley and had proposed, and certainly Councillor Tinley, et cetera, has considered. My understanding is that we're happy to accept recommendation number one, or as per this report. The second recommendation, was suggesting, and correct me if I'm wrong here, councillors are proposing to go to approve a recommendation of two-stage process now, as opposed to doing that consultation with the DEA, and which might result in the same position. Based on what you said, Councillor Sharman, around the Nyeri City Park project and certainly the Dunleith project, all of those proposals, if you like, of moving to a phase process, et cetera, were probably mooted with the DEA first and foremost before they did that. And I suppose that's what point two of the recommendation is suggesting in this case. Yes, it might result in a two-phase process as part of that, but I suppose as officer we felt it would be in line with the governance of the council, be good to consult the DEA as part of that process. So just hoping that, for me, that's why the recommendation says what it says. And I suppose that would be in precedence with previous phases to other projects. The third point, and just for clarity, we are saying that we don't consult with the relevant club representatives at the moment, and that we just consult with Councillor Tinley. Is that what we're saying? Apologies if I picked that up wrong, but.
Is that me back in, sir?
Yes.
No, Paul, I'm sorry that wasn't clear. No, the point I'm trying to make is this thing has been talked to death. You know, what's the objective? What is the end goal of continuing talks with the Trubs? The Trubs want to see the thing progressed to the point where the planners have all the information to allow them to make the decision. And as far as they're concerned, everything that needs to be talked about has been talked about. And there is a feeling that the Trubs will not mind me sharing that the will of the councillors here may not be being fulfilled. You know, where it's like there's nearly the things open, decisions that are made are actually open to interpretation then when it gets into a meeting thing. And listen, I just to sum up, Chairman, with your indulgence, I want to draw a line under what's happened up to this point. I want to be positive. I want to move on here. I do largely welcome Paul's report and indeed the other officers that fed into it. And I'm very, very grateful for the contributions here from members, but this doesn't have to be something that we all get bogged down on. This is a positive story, and it's something we should all be putting our shoulder to the wheel on. But the clubs, Paul, are desperate to see this happen. And have been for 40 years, as I indicated in my report. Children, I'll end very, very quickly on this point. In this day and age, should not be having to use the ditch as a toilet. I'll leave it at that.
Well, thank you very much for your summary. Jonathan, Gareth wanted in. I know we've got a proposal and a seconder before us. Aussie, yeah? Henry, you're in before Gareth.
No, Chairman, it was just I can't see the benefits of any further public or DEA consultation. I think we just need to get this job over the line and finished up. It's been on too long. And all the proposals tonight have been positive, Chairman, and I'm really glad to hear Jarlath saying it. He wants us to be a positive thing and not looking back. So the proposal's there in its second, Chairman, and I don't even think you need a vote on it. I think it's unanimous that we proceed. Thank you, Chairman.
Gareth.
Yeah, Chair. I think it was important for me to come back in on point three, and I'm taking some of the feedback from Paul into account of this as well. The upgrading of these pitches doesn't meet the requirements of Crookleave DEA, and what the report actually identified of the needs for sports facilities. I think it's vitally important that we would continue to liaise with all clubs about Crookleave DEA and the delivery of the strategy. So I don't think we should be saying that we will not continue to liaise, because the strategy is not just about Kilbrony, it is about Crookleave DEA as a whole. And the wording of that is to approve the continued liaison with the relevant club representatives to reach a solution in relation to the upgrade of the soccer Gaelic pitches that meets the facility strategy's recommendation and plan requirements. So that is not solely about the project that we're talking about tonight. So I think it's vitally important that we as a council continue to work with all clubs within Crookleave to ensure that the strategy delivers everything that it's identified needs to be addressed. So I would emphasise, I don't think we should be removing point three. We should continue to liaise with all clubs.
There's also the last item of monthly reporting.
Sorry, just to clarify, maybe that's point three is, and you're probably right, Councillor Sharvin, that probably should have specifically said in relation to the upgrade of the Cabroni soccer and Gaelic pitches, just to specify that, and the continued, I suppose, engagement with those club representatives who are key stakeholders in the project. So, and I accept.
Michelle, are you agreeing a new wording here? Because we have a proposer and a seconder for the two-stage process, which is the main body of the proposal.
Yes, Chairman. So we're going with, you just confirm then what is actually being voted on here. The first two recommendations of officers. Plus what?
As I hear it, Paul has accepted some of the points, and we need to clarify some which points he's accepted on the report itself. But separately, there is a main proposal of having a two-stage process, which has Henry and Tierna proposing and seconding it.
Okay. Can I just interject, Chair, to say that on point three, we cannot really... Well, I contend we cannot really refer to the Newry Morning Down Sports Facility Strategy recommendations without also including the ODM review, because the ODM review came after the 2017 strategy. So the ODM review should be included in that point three as well.
Thank you, Chair. I think you can include it without the ODM review, if I'd be completely honest, Councillor Tinley. Consider that the recommendation for For this pitch upgrade comes under recommendation 2 of Council Sports Facility Strategy, whereas the Odin report is specifically referred to recommendation 5, completely different recommendation of Council Sports Facility Strategy. And in that, any upgrade of Kilbroney pitches, which hopefully we can resolve as we work through this process, will still not address the need associated with the GAA pitches, rugby pitches, and football pitches in the Crotley DA area. So there still will be another solution in terms of football, Gaelic, and rugby pitches required.
Well, I'm keen to bring the discussion over the content of the report to a close so we can move on to the main motion, which is this two-stage process. Are you happy with that response?
Yeah, that's fine. And we're going to get a monthly update to the AHC.
So I probably didn't get to that point. Sorry, Councillor Tinley. Right. So I suppose our proposal is that we also table a report at AHC, which will then put that on the action sheet of AHC. Until the project is through to completion, which will give the opportunity for that to be on the AHC agenda, if you like, until the project's completed.
Paul, my specific concern in relation to that was that when I look at the correspondence from December 7th, minus the pavilion, there's nothing in that I would regard as a deal breaker. Everything is doable, right? So it's about... The reason that I was sort of emphasising the monthly report was because we know then that from month to month...
Jonathan made that point, and it's a good point.
There's going to be action.
We need to move on now.
No, fair enough, Chairman. Thank you.
This evening.
Thank you, Chairman.
So could we go back to looking at the proposal for a two-stage process and to see if everyone supports that proposal?
Chair, would it be helpful if I just clarified each one of those points again after that discussion? Anyone find that helpful? Just ensure we're on the same page. My understanding under point 1 of the recommendation, we're happy enough to progress with that. Under point 2, rather than go back and consult with DAs about moving to a two-stage process, we would there's a proposal then to move to that two-stage process now, and that be recommended, sorry, proposed and recommended, and we make that change. In terms of point 3, are we happy to continue to engage with clubs on this process, but specifically outline that that's in relation to the Kilbroney sports pitch?
Yeah, just keep going.
And in point 4, I suppose the proposal is to bring a report to AHC and table it so that this project is on the action sheet of AHC until through to project completion, which gives it an opportunity for officers to update at each meeting of AHC.
Yeah, Chairman. I'm okay. I'm okay with that, Chairman.
Thank you. Can I just check to see that Chair is also happy to second that?
Yep, happy to second, Chair.
And Chairman, the ODM report that was mentioned, if we could include the recommendations of that report in the part 4, I think that would be helpful also. And if we could be circulated with it, with what those recommendations were, I think that would be helpful to further enlighten the members. Thanks, Chairman.
Through the Chair, if I could just respond to Councillor O'Reilly on that, there's actually a report specifically about the Odin report and multi-sports ups being tabled at AHC on Monday night. They are two separate projects. Multi-sports hubs has been progressed under recommendation 5 of the sports facility strategy. This project sits under recommendation 2 of the council sports facility strategy, and therefore I suppose I'll be proposing that the recommendation isn't updated to mention the multi-sports hubs as its separate recommendation, and there's also a report specifically going to that in AHC on Monday night.
Can I get Henry and Shana to confirm that's okay, and so we can move on and see if there's a consensus?
Yeah, I'm okay. Shana's happy.
Yep. Yes, sir. I'm consent.
Gareth.
I think in my head, in the most simplest way, is we seemed content with generally the 4 points that's in the report, but the second point should read to agree that we split the project into a two-phase and Proctorleave DEA meet with council officers, because obviously the councillors need to be involved in the identification of where the pavilion, change in pavilion, should go. So is it, in my interpretation, is the second point is just being amended to agree to the project being split into two and being parallel with one another, and that the Proctorleave DEA meet with council officers and the rest continue as is. That's how I'm interpreting how we proceed with this.
So, Chair, I'll just clarify then, and for Councillor Riley and Councillor Kelly, who proposed the second, and what Councillor Sharpin is saying, and the point two would read, to agree to adopt a two-stage process, taking into account the environmental planning considerations and the supporting need, and to consult with the, to continue to work with the Crotley DEA to consider the appropriate locations, etc. So is Councillor Riley and Councillor Kelly content with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Sorry, not sure if you heard, but yes.
Thanks, Councillor Kelly.
Excellent. Does that mean we have a consensus and we can move on?
Yes.
All right. I think we're going into committee again in the next one. Oh yeah, the Newry Floodal Aviation Scheme, point number six. Okay.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Okay. Members, at the NCCR Programme Board meeting in December, it was recommended that officers progress discussions with DFI Rivers on the potential of delivering elements of the Newry Flood Alleviation Scheme Phase 2 as part of the Newry City Centre Regeneration Theatre Conference Centre construction project. These discussions have now progressed since that board meeting, and the recommendation is that members agree that elements of the Newry Flood Alleviation Scheme Phase 2 at Sugar Island and between the Town Hall and Needham Bridge is included as a works package within the ITT for the Newry City Centre Regeneration Theatre Conference project. So I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay, Garjal, thank you very much. Good night. We have a question from Declan on item six, I believe. Is that right?
Sorry, Chair, I proposed initially, just in light of a
call. We've got a proposal from David.
And a comment.
And we've also got a comment.
Yeah, Chair, listen, I welcome obviously the progress that's been made in this, particularly given the recent issues we've had in the city centre. I suppose just as part of that process, I wanted to ask the officials, just because it's been obviously a number of weeks from we had the initial discussion at the programme board, but has there been any discussion regarding, for instance, other aspects where flooding occurred as well in terms of the canal section with the Rivers Agency and DFI as to regards any progress been made on any alleviation schemes in that regard as well? This obviously deals with one aspect of it, but wider problems, as obviously the canal had a role to play in that at that stage as well. So just to see if there's been any, you know, progress or any information you could provide in respect of that issue as well.
Through the chair, the wider flood alleviation scheme for the whole of Newry is something that's under consideration by DFI Rivers as well. This is just one element of this overall scheme. So there's a larger project that's been progressed by DFI Rivers at the same time, but we're just selecting elements of that are deliverable now. If that answers your question, Councillor.
Well, in one regard, yes, I understand that there is works to be carried out, but was there any indication given, Connor, just as to where those aspects are, you know, in terms of time frame, resource, financially, obviously, that would allow those other aspects to progress at a point? Because I'm conscious, obviously, we have been, you know, where the council has discussed, been assigned to undertake work in terms of a wider report about the flooding that occurred in the city centre, and we're waiting, obviously, detail on that. But just as part of this, when we're raising this issue now, has there been any information provided to council as to where we are in the other aspects of the flood alleviation scheme for the wider city centre?
I'm happy to pick that up with DFI Rivers next week and seek an update on progress with the overall scheme, not just the elements that we're going to deliver this time.
Okay. Okay, and will that be brought back to this committee then, Connor, or where will we get that? Just as part of the minutes, you know, as an action, really, just?
Yes, I'll bring that back to the committee, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Pete, I'm going to... No, it's Declan. And Declan, before I bring you in, I just mentioned the fact that I sit on the Drainage and Flooding Council, and there are, in fact, four newly flood alleviation schemes. And there's also a scheme for flooding from the sea, which was being sent to the department as well. The meeting to discuss these last week was cancelled, and it's been moved to February, I believe. So there is information available there, Connor, if you talk to the Drainage and Flooding people.
Okay, right, thanks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just to Connor, I suppose the same vein as David. I think what's been proposed is really, I presume, making the presumption that it's to future-proof the development of the theatre town hall project, as opposed to addressing, sorry, not as opposed to, but in tandem with progressing or repairing the overall situation in the Newry area regarding flooding. And I would have thought that included in that would to prevent any more further short-term issues like we had, that the where the river flooded the canal, and subsequently the canal then flooded Merchants Quay and Sugar Island, causing all the damage. Is that not to be included in this? Or some or less, Chair, that you have knowledge that I don't have, that maybe you can impart, that maybe they are going to up the level of the river or else address the area or the particular point where the river breached into the canal. And further then, is there again the opportunity to have an individual fund for business owners in that area that was affected before for their own, for a grant for or 100% funding for the their own individual flood prevention measures internally in their shops or premises.
Okay, Chair, maybe just pick up the first one around the short-term flood alleviation measures, and you referred to the breach between the river and the canal. Investigations around the root cause and the issues that were experienced in Newry in October are underway through DFI Rivers, and there will be a full independent review, as was requested through the council. That is ongoing, and work on that is progressing, and it's hoped that there will be engagement on that in the coming weeks, both with local stakeholders and through a multi-agency review. So that will identify what the issues were, and we'll hopefully move forward then to propose some short-term solutions and some longer-term solutions as part of the Newry Flood Alleviation Scheme that Councillor Enright has referred to. With respect to the individual property and funding, that is something that's been taken forward by DfE at this time, and we are liaising very closely with the department in respect of the design of that scheme, and we will be engaged and be working with DfE in the rolling out of that scheme when it's been agreed and the criteria for it has been identified and communicated with the local businesses.
Okay, so take then that it's only really where we're talking here about primarily the walls that didn't breach are being increased, albeit one section of the area behind the town hall which did breach. So we're increasing the levels of the area that didn't get raised, didn't cause an issue, and then leaving the other one in the short term. But I find that a wee bit.
Yeah, the proposal is that there's an opportunity when we are on site constructing the new facility at this location that it would make sense to deliver these elements of the flood alleviation scheme for Newry at the same time. Otherwise, we would be having to travel over ground that has been improved due to our works and to provide the new flood alleviation works at a later time. So they believe it's an opportune time. This design work has been concluded and it's at a stage where it can be delivered. But it's acknowledged that it's only a small part of a far larger scheme where the benefits of the overall flood alleviation scheme won't be fully realised until it's all completed. But this, as I say, is only a small part of a bigger project.
Yeah. So, Connor, sir, if you're not be pressing in this, but this will be in the very short term. When, what date would I be doing this? These works proposed here.
You're
beating this to death.
No, I haven't actually, because it's very important. But, I mean, I have no word of the theatre starting yet. Yeah,
the theatre conference is actually out to procurement at the minute for a contractor, and this work will be formed part of a work package as set out in the report that will be tendered as part of the theatre conference project. The tender returns are due back early February, March this year, right. So it's anticipated that this work will be part of that project.
Which will be hopefully commencing later on this year then.
Exactly.
All right, that's okay. No, I was sort of worried that it may go stretch the next year. And
I see you've seconded it, but you haven't indicated you want to speak, so you're happy enough just to second it, right?
I'll have to second, Joe.
Thank you. So I need a proposer and a seconder to move into closed session for items deemed to be exempt under Para 3 of Part 1 of the Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act NI 2014. The chair is proposing. And Pete is seconding. Okay, closed session items from the SPNR committee Thursday the 18th of January 2024. The following items were taken in closed session. Items 7 to 15. Step 1, chairperson to read out. Yes. Down to here. On the proposal of councillor. Item 7, use of social media mandatory training. On the proposal of Councillor Taylor, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed to approve the essential training for members, SMT, CMT and key social media practitioners on behalf of the Newry Moreland Down Council. Item 8, proposed renewal of lease of Milltown Playing Fields to One Point Tennis Club. On the proposal of Councillor McAteer, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed to renew the lease in respect of the lands highlighted in blue, with the party noted in this report for a period of 3 years, subject to market rent to be determined by the Council's valuer. Item 9, proposed renewal of lease for Cabra Community Centre. On the proposal of Councillor McAteer, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed to lease these lands outlined in red on the map, with the party noted in this report for a period of 15 years, subject to a peppercorn rent. Item 10, proposed renewal of lease at May Community. Should that, is there another word there? May Community Centre? Yeah. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Lewis, it was agreed to renew the lease in respect of the lands outlined in red, with the party noted in this report for a period of 25 years, subject to market rent to be determined by the Council's valuer. Item 11, local government training group arrangements and contribution fees. On the proposal of Councillor Lewis, seconded by Councillor McAteer, the following was agreed. Point. Approve the payment of the local government training group contribution as outlined in the SLA agreement for the period of April 2023 to March 2024. Point. Approve this ongoing membership and associated contribution payment up until April 2029. Point. A report will be brought back to committee on the use of the e-learning platform. Item 12, specific delegated function. On the proposal of Councillor Lewis, seconded by Councillor Enright, it was agreed to note the delegation has been exercised by the Chief Executive regarding a HR matter in the best interest of Council and has been reported in accordance with 3.1.11 of the Council Scheme Delegation for Officers. Item 13, pay protection policy. On the proposal of Councillor Sharman, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed to approve the introduction of the pay protection awards. Item 14, Strategic Finance Working Group Action Sheet 14, November 2023. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Kelly, it was agreed to note the action sheet. Item 15, Strategic Finance Working Group Action Sheet 12, December 2023. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Kelly, it was agreed to note the action sheet. Sinead. So, moving on to item 16. Tina, you have a comment on 17?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I can hear an echo, just want to check the sound, okay? Yeah, okay, no worries. I just want to say, Chair, that this update has probably been long awaited. I would say that in terms of planning and waiting times, it's probably one of the most frequent constituent query I would have gotten the last month or two, and I'm glad to see that Council has now completed a recruitment process and is now hopefully going to reduce waiting times on planning applications. I just want to, you know, thank the officers for this report, and I'm happy to propose, I'll put it in the chat, just a monthly update as well from officers, so that we can actually see what progress has been made in terms of the planning department. So I just want to say thanks to the officers for the report.
Is it in order? Would management be happy to take that suggestion from Councillor Kelly?
Yes.
Question on item 17 from Gareth.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I suppose Councillor Kelly's proposed, given the, well, a number of points I want to make, but given the report and the timescale that officers are saying it will take to have an impact, is monthly too often? Is quarterly the more right approach that we would do that review? And actually have meaningful discussion, because come next month, you know, the reports probably will be pretty much the same of, we need another month for new recruits to embed. So I would maybe suggest an amendment there, Councillor Kelly, that it'd be every quarter that we would review it. Now, obviously, if at the next update that we get where performance hasn't improved, we can look at it and say maybe we do need it more regularly, but I think quarterly probably would be the best approach at this time.
Chair, can I just come in there? Sorry.
Yes, Councillor Kelly, right away.
Sorry, apologies. That was just a misread of the report. I agree with the recommendations. That's what I meant by my proposal. Apologies.
Okay,
a suggestion here from Connor.
Councillors, can I suggest that we provide an update report on receipt of the quarterly stats when they're received from through NISRA, and that would provide an update based on the stats and our comparisons against other councils.
Declan, you're up next.
I was just responding to Councillor Kelly. Chair, yeah, I was the one suggested the last meeting that a report actually be brought to this meeting, because as Councillor Kelly mentions from her own experience, from my own experience, the number of calls that I'm getting from architects, agents, applicants, customers, clients has increased dramatically over the last number of months in relation to it. One of the stark things that stood out to me in the report was 656 non-allocated applications. And to me, that's a massive number. 41% of our planning applications in this council sits unallocated. 54% are live and being processed, and 5% waiting to be validated. And that, to me, is a massive concern. And I do take points that we are, obviously, we've recruited, we've got new performance metrics in place, but that's a significant number that people are not seeing any progress. And I suppose a couple of examples that I have had, I had an architect ring me even today, this morning, to say that he had customers ringing him daily. Some of them, the same customers ring him every day, going, we see my plan application, but it hasn't even been validated. It was submitted in May. And that architect actually had to come back in December just last year to issue new checks because the previous checks had expired because they were more than 6 months. And customers actually thought, had they stole their money because the application was not going anywhere. Another example is a builder who has a couple of applications in, which is in a similar scenario where it's been validated, but it's not been allocated. And he's actually said to me, if it's worth hundreds of thousands in work across the applications for his company, that if they are not processing, he will need to let employees go because he will not have the work to be able to provide for them and continue in the function that they are, because their existing work is starting to finish and the applications that they submitted months ago haven't been processed to be able to then plan for the new ones. Another example is my own petition. I don't know if I should declare an interest or not. It's not my application, but my own petition. She's currently trying to get an extension on her house in Downpatrick, and it hasn't been allocated. And it, again, has been in for more than 6 months, and all it is a small extension to the house, which is slightly above permitted development. I said, you really needed that size, could you reduce it and do permitted development? But, again, it highlights the challenges that are being reported. So that is a flavour of some of the calls that I'm getting. Staffing, and it is mentioned in the report, and it is being echoed across architects and agents that already we've seen a member of staff who only recently joined already leave. And that, I'm aware of the circumstances that they got a promotion in another council, and obviously it is their choice if they wish to do it. One of the questions that I would have is, and it's in similar vein to a question I asked Katrina Muscali when she was Assistant Director of HR. What feedback are we getting in exit interviews for those that are choosing to leave this council? And for what reason are they leaving the plan department to go elsewhere, and understand what can we do to retain them? Chair, there's another comment about standard and how have we, you know, a good high quality application is easier to process. And that makes sense to me. And in my own job, you know, we provide guidelines on how to do particular IT procedures, and then people know what they are expected to present to us, what information we would need. Do we have an actual example? And I see as part of the recommendations, we're going to do a bit of events with architects and agents and et cetera. Can we provide what a good quality application looks like to ensure that it can be streamlined, maybe not the right word, but be put across. Another point that I wanted to make is, and I don't know if it's rumour or it is true, but it's on the grapevine that I hear that we as a council are continuously focusing on legacy applications. So things that are more older than 2020, we're trying to drill it down. And it does touch on it slightly in the report that we're trying to reduce that number. But that obviously those applications are old for a particular reason, and that they still need to be worked on, but it is harming the processing of new. And it's been said to me many a times over the last number of months, and particularly with the experience and delays and applications being allocated, is Newry, Mourne and Down District Council closed for new business. You know, and I'll use the builder's example, Ian. Hundreds of thousands of pounds of work sitting in the system, not even allocated to be processed to enable new construction work to happen. I know it's probably slightly unfair to put this on Jonathan as obviously assistant director and only putting his feet under the desk to try and fix it. But these are the real concerns that I'm getting day and daily that agents, architects, builders are raising with me. And at this time and moment, people are saying you need to go in there and literally shout to the rooftop to get this sorted. And certainly I think the report is going the right way, but do we have a serious issue in planning? And we used to have a consultant in that was trying to fix the planning. I don't know if it has fixed it. What can we do different now to really fix planning once for all?
Gareth, can I just note, you had at least five very good questions there. Exit interviews, advisory templates, and so forth. The last one was a little rhetorical, but is absolutely correct. It's lived experience of people in this district that we've got a problem. Do you want a detailed answer to each of those questions tonight, or how do you want to handle it?
Even an executive summary to it would be great, but because after tonight I'm going to go out and probably get phone calls from those said people that are raising these issues to say, well, what happened last night, or what's the plan to fix planning? And I can refer them to a report, but I need something better than the report to say this is what we're doing to really address planning in this district council.
So, okay, Jonathan, will you come in now, please?
Yes, Chair. I'm just supposed to try to cover those in a summary format, Chair. I suppose we have touched on them in the report. But in terms of the quality of applications, we are planning workshops with agents and developers over hopefully late February, early March to work through those sort of things, to talk about what makes good applications and how they can assist to work through that. Certainly when the quality of applications comes in, it does help to move them on. There are issues also around the consultee responses, and that's something that we're picking up at a Northern Ireland level because that's across the board. But as I suppose it does have a knock-on effect if you have to reconsult and amend applications, add new information, you have to reconsult, and it just adds to the delays. But that's something that we're working on. We are very mindful, Chairman, of the implications of the delays have on the local economy. You know, we get the applicants ringing us as well, so we're mindful of that, and it is a difficult conversation to have. But no, we are certainly not closed for business. It's definitely the paper in its totality tries to outline the steps we're taking to address the challenges, and also putting place some sort of metric to try to measure that to move us from where we are to where we want to be. In terms of staffing, I have had discussions with our HR department to look at how we promote opportunities within the organisation and promote the planning department and the opportunities through looking at how we're going to do that through the various professional bodies and also hopefully with universities. So, Chair, those are some of the areas that we are touching on and trying to work on. They are detailed in the report, and we will continue to report back on that and update members in the reports that we bring back to demonstrate how we're progressing this moving forward, Chair. But very mindful of the impact that it does have. The issue of legacy applications, Chairman, you know, and that is while they're there, they still have to be determined, and those are the sort of issues that are impacting. If you look at, you know, the very issue of probably what has prompted the report from the performance improvement plan in November, that was one application of a major application, one application that had the figures quoted in the paper, the 500 plus weeks to determine. That's the sort of thing that legacy applications that aren't cleared out of the system, the impact on your performance reports that go and compare you to all of the other councils. So while they're, I know the point that the councillor's making, but they still have to be dealt with and have to be worked through. And until those are out of the way, the performance figures, they will be challenging the performance figures because they're there and they have to be sorted. Sure.
Gareth, I'm not sure if you're happy with that. I know we still have Declan to speak, and in the meantime, we need to find someone who's going to second. Was Henry in before? Okay. All right, Henry, you're actually in before.
Sorry, Chair, to just come back on one of the responses from Jonathan there. In the report, it doesn't detail of the 871 that are currently allocated and being processed. How many of them would be classified as legacy?
Chair, I wouldn't have that detail to hand, but I can come back to you with that.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Chairman.
Henry.
Yeah, Chairman, Councillor Sharvin and Kelly have already articulated what I was going to point out. But, Chairman, what really concerned me tonight whenever I seen this agenda was that this was for noting. And I have to thank you for the way you've chaired this meeting tonight. You facilitated speech, you facilitated councillors, and that's the way councillors should behave, councils should behave. So I really want to thank you for the way you've facilitated discussion on these really pertinent and important issues. And Chairman, this is an emergency situation given the economic and social impact that it's having on our council. I am being inundated and people just cannot understand why it takes so long. And Chairman, during the recent flooding incidents, we liaised with all our councils across Northern Ireland and we had fantastic help because we were in an emergency situation from as far north as Coast and Glens Council. And Chairman, many of those councils are practically up to date with their planning. And would it be possible that we could second staff, even bring in staff from GB, particularly England, because they're identical legislation. And if we have to pay extra money to get those people in and get these things out and out of the system and get builders working and get the architects off our backs, because really it's grinding councillors down with the number of complaints that we're getting, Chairman. But those were the points. And Chairman, people who have lost their mobility and are getting a grant from the Housing Executive of the Social Services to build a small wet room, you know, been held up now for 18 months, 2 years. It's just frightening, Chairman, when you think of the vulnerable in our society who are being impacted by this. So thanks to Tierna and Gareth, and especially thanks to you, Chairman. Some chairmen would just say, it's for noting, talk to the relevant director. And that's not the way it should be done. The way you've handled this meeting, that's an example of how chairmen should behave. So thanks very much.
A rare thing to get praise, yeah. Declan, would you like to come in?
There could be a coup maybe before the night's over in terms of the chair. Anyway, back to more serious problems. Look, I'm exasperated, and I know I've spoken to Jonathan and Connor as well about the planning, but I think really the reputation of the council is at stake on this. It really is. I never seen the likes of it, and I think Councillor Riley alluded to that as well. A number of queries coming in about where is it, where's it going to, where's my money? Like people in from last March, not long they've been looked at from what I can make out. And so really need to bang the heads together on this, you know. So a couple of weak questions on this. The 39 staff is the full complement. Now, Does that include, you know, any potential people who are off sick or maternity leave? Is that built into that 39 complement? Because we were always short. Mm-hmm. We always knew we were short when we got the powers down. We got the same number of counts of planners as other less areas like Fermanagh and Tyrone. So we were always behind. So what way does that sit? Have we enough people employed? There's 16. Sorry, why does it take 6 to 8 weeks to train supposed planners coming in from other plan offices, or less than them having been in work for a number of years? I don't know, but it seems an inordinate time. I've been told, I sent records, emails, planners from last maybe July, August, that these people were on the way in a matter of weeks, and these will be allocated back in a matter of weeks, and it's gone on now. We're now heading towards February, and again, I've had called into the planning office yesterday and made inquiries, no doubt, and something in from August hasn't been looked at. That's disgraceful, really. So I really, like, it's one of the highest priorities the council should be putting its head round. So is it possible to look at part-time staff? Because sometimes people maybe would be interested in a number of hours a week. We have to do something. Can we? The initial problem was from was caused by the planning headquarters, the department. You know, can we get people off them in some way or other? It's a convent or something. Kenny Riley was talking about GB, but they're not the same policies that I understand that there is certain in Northern Ireland. So look, I think we need to do further work on this. And I know, as I said earlier, officers are trying their best to look at ways internally to speed things up. But something has to be done, really, really does, and urgently, because it's becoming indefensible. Thanks.
Chair, can I just make a comment in respect of recruitment and retention? If we sought to recruit 20 new planners, we couldn't. We would be unsuccessful. We have had 9 recruitment exercises, and the most recent one will now. We will offer the last position from that recruitment exercise to the last person on the list. We still have 2 vacancies. So although we're carrying out recruitment exercises, they don't fill the gaps that exist. So we're continually recruiting, and we're recruiting staff now who are joining the council who are not coming from another council with experience of the IT system, and they don't have experience of working in development management. So there is a period of training of these staff to bring them up to speed, and that requires them being trained by existing council planning officers, which actually diverts them from having a full 100% dedication to determining applications. So it is a challenge. It's not a challenge that we don't have our heads buried in the sand. We're very aware that this is a major issue and is a priority for the department, but the recruitment and retention of staff is a key issue, and it's a challenge across both the private and public sector. And it appears that at times we are rotating the same planning officials around the different councils as opportunities arise for people to take promotions or to progress through different organisations. We're aware of it. We're trying to look at other ways and how we can fill the vacancies that exist, and we'll continue to look at innovative ways of doing that.
Just one thing I forgot, and it was sitting at 1,606, I think we were calculating there where someone was speaking, and I think it maybe will take 3.5 years to get that cleared, and that's not the best figures that you've produced there. It's mad.
That's not a figure that we have proposed. We haven't put a timeline on it.
Yeah, but we're working it out, and we think that's probably, you know, given the what's coming in and what's gone out, what's potentially gone out, I'm not even taking into consideration some of the ones that are going to take longer, major ones. So it's potentially looking at 3.5 years to get even back. Yeah, we formerly were down to below 1,000 at one stage. Now we're sitting at 1,600. Yes, sure.
Thank you, Declan.
Oh, thank you.
I'm in the absence of a seconder. I'm Jonathan has his hand on. I thought he was in already. Okay.
Sorry, Chairman. No, it's fine. It's Connor had covered the points that I was going to raise there in response to that. That's fine.
Well, as I said, in the absence of a seconder, I'm seconding it. But I would say that particularly the matrix mentioned by Garth, I would entirely agree with. And this is a significant difficulty. And I just know, my brother was a Labour Party councillor in St Albans for many years until a few years ago. And, you know, they got things done within 2.5 to 3 months. You know, I often used to compare what we had here and they had there. My sister's a senior planning officer in Kerry County Council. They don't have this issue in Kerry, even though there's a huge dearth of experienced qualified staff in the Republic. So there's something wrong here, and something systemic. And the sort of matrix that Gareth is talking about, I think, need to be followed up on. And I don't know how to handle this, but it's something that needs to be chased further. With that, have we any other items for discussion tonight?
No. Thank you, everybody. Safe home.
All right. So safe home, everyone, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.